Okay, Leonie, please, let's just have the heading up, please. So I want to talk today, calling it Christmas from Heaven's Perspective, but Deb set the tone last week, didn't she? Got to get in the Christmas spirit, so three little cracker jokes. First of all, why did Santa's helper see the doctor? Because he had a low elf esteem. What kind of motorbike does Santa ride? A Holly Davidson, absolutely. And lastly, why are Christmas trees so bad at sewing? They always drop their needles, yes. Well, you all knew the ones that I got here, but I had to understand them, so I got some simple ones. But Hannah's the one. We were at Street Pastors with Hannah, joined her team the other day. And it's a good job her husband was by her side, because we were just having joke after Christmas joke after Christmas joke for about 10 minutes. And they kept going, didn't they, Kim? But she's the one that's got all of these jokes. What was that? What an exciting life. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. If I was to ask you or the person in the street what comes to mind when we talk about Christmas, we probably end up with the usual answers. Yeah, we have our traditions, and mostly I really enjoy them. Nothing wrong with a bit of tradition from time to time. But for many of us, these are the sort of images which come to mind. That's what I like at Christmas. Would like to see more of that at Christmas, actually. There's the snow, the wintry landscape, the Christmas trees, Father Christmas, Christmas dinner. Ah, now I saw Mary's little thing on Facebook the other day about the demise of Cadbury's chocolate coins. I'm with you, Mary. No more chocolate coins. They were the things that we used to have in our stockings from 2 years old. And did you know they're stopping them? That's sad, isn't it? I don't know what people have in their stockings these days, but we used to have a walnut, tangerine, chocolate coins. What else did we have, John? Phone? Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, toffee strip. Jackie gets, like, Christmas presents, and they're piling out, and that's just for the stockings. And then they come down and open their presents around the Christmas tree. But anyway, chocolate coins were always in there. Look at that, that's Reading. Lights at Christmas. What else? Christmas presents, of course, carol singers. And if you're in Australia or some of these other places, I can't imagine that sort of thing, can you? Christmas Day on the beach. But evidently, it's something they all look really forward to. Imagine, it could be quite good fun, I'd imagine, if everybody turns up on the beach. But for most people that we ask around the town, these would be the normal images which come when you ask about Christmas. And all of that's okay with me, because I enjoy most of that too. Do you know, Christmas was adopted. It was a pagan festival adopted by Christians. And so I think there's a little bit of a cheek sometimes when we try to expect everything to do with secularism to have gone completely from this festival. But in the 4th century, 25th of December, by then it became the standard traditional day, like the Queen's official birthday, I suppose. It's Jesus' official birthday. And by the 4th century, Christmas was being celebrated by Christians, and it grew across the world until today. In almost every country, Christmas is celebrated. But did you know, I read in the Daily Mail this week, only one-third of the primary school children know Christmas has anything to do with Jesus at all. That's a bit surprising, I thought. Well, I suppose it's not really. They don't do nativity plays so much these days. But all that, and all that these images here, are in sharp contrast to Heaven's perspective of Christmas. And that's what I want to talk about today. So let's go back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. And this is John writing about Jesus. So what he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just going to pause there. This is a little bit different, isn't it? From Christmas hats on, what's the beach in Australia? Bondi Beach. This is a little bit different from sweet little carol singers, from all the other images which we just had a moment or two ago. I don't know if we quite got this. This is God. The Word was Jesus. He didn't just turn up, actually, 2,000 years ago. The Word was Jesus. He was there in the very beginning. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus made everything that existed. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that absolutely incredible? John goes on, different translation here now. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. God became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And John says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I just want to put that last little bit up from the Message. The Word became flesh and blood, Eugene Peterson translates this, and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. Wow, isn't this incredible? And this is the Christmas story. This is why we celebrate every year with awe and wonder. 3 weeks ago, Jackie and I moved house. I tell you, there's a lot to go into moving house. Not going to do it too often in the future. Jackie says never again. But God moved house. He left heaven and came to earth. He became human and moved into our neighborhood. He came into our world. And this is Christmas from heaven's perspective. It was only ever about one person. Jesus, angels, stars, shepherds, and wise men, they all heralded the greatest act of all history. God became man. Isn't that amazing? And like today, most of them at the time in that first century, they never realized the significance of this event and what was happening. But to those who did, their lives were changed forever. Now, I have to plead ignorance here. I don't know if the universe has been around for millions of years, or something, or thousands of years, as others think. I don't know if Jesus was born in December or not, but I do know on a specific day, at a specific time, over 2,000 years ago, hidden away in a cold, dark, smelly stable in a little town called Bethlehem in Palestine, a young virgin girl gave birth to a son, Jesus, the Savior of the world. God came to planet Earth. Emmanuel, God's with us. Some of you may have seen those Louis Giglio films from a while ago, a few years ago now. And I'm always amazed when somehow they open up this solar system, or is it wider than that? Bigger than, I think it's, anyway, you open it up and you see all of these stars and planets and it's just like mist. There are just so many, millions and millions and millions of them. And he says, and here's Earth. And it's in the middle of all of this great cosmos. And, you know, like Earth seems like that's all that exists to us, doesn't it? You know, this is what we live and breathe and travel and we can go. But when you see it in the context of how enormous the universe is, and I don't know if God visited any other places, but I know he came down to this little planet to save the people which were born on this planet, because he created us in his image and he wanted fellowship and relationship with mankind. Amazing. amazing. And I'm not sure how easy it is to grasp the truth of all this. You're the creator of the universe, the one who holds it all together, the one who sustains everything and gives life to everything, the one who was there, I've already said, in the very beginning. He was outside of time. He was in eternity and he's been there for eternity. This one laid aside his divinity, laid aside his deity. This God laid aside his majesty and his power, and somehow he squeezed himself into the form of that little human baby. And now all of a sudden, that one I've just described becomes dependent on milk from his mother's breasts and the warmth of a few blankets and the care of human parents to survive. The all-powerful God became vulnerable and weak and dependent on human kindness. That's what the first Christmas was all about. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, we can sing the carols. We know the stories, so they become so familiar. But just think about the incredible miracle which took place on that day. You see, the first Christmas, from heaven's perspective, it was full of anticipation, full of mystery and supernatural invention. The first Christmas was heaven touching earth, God breaking in. Hallelujah. I think this Christmas can be the same as well for us. He wants to break in again. If you're saved, if you're not saved, he wants to break in again, come to us. I just was reminiscing, you know, going back. First, there was a stirring, a flutter of angels' wings. And then in the temple, an archangel visits an old priest. Just imagine, I mean, he was struck with fear. And this angel says to Zechariah, he says, your wife, your old wife, your wife who's past the age of childbearing, is going to have a baby. Totally impossible. She's too old. He probably too old too. But guess what? When God breaks in, she gets pregnant. Then 6 months later, same archangel, Gabriel, he appears again, this time to a young virgin girl. You're going to have a baby too, he says to Mary. She's never even slept with a man. But guess what? She gets pregnant too. And understandably, her fiancé has a lot to work through. And the old lady, well, she just happens to be Mary's cousin. And when Mary meets Elizabeth, both of them pregnant, Jesus in Mary and John the Baptist in Elizabeth, and there's a leaping in the womb. There's recognition, there's supernatural stuff happening here. And Jesus wasn't even born. And Mary appears to Elizabeth, and just because of the vicinity and the closeness, all of a sudden, Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it incredible? This little baby in the womb. I don't know, I don't understand. But then she begins to prophesy. And we've got what she said recorded in the gospel. It's heaven touching earth. It's God breaking in. It's supernatural events happening on this first Christmas. So much more than Christmas puddings and the stuff which we looked at a little bit earlier. And it goes on. Heaven just couldn't contain itself on the day of the birth of Jesus. When he was born, heaven erupted. The night sky lit up. Fear gripped the shepherds as, well, it would be UFOs, unexplained flying objects just filled the sky. But this is what Luke tells us what was happening. He says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Again, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. We talk about sing choirs of angels singing, you know, these are awesome beings. James, they're awesome. They really are awesome. And they terrified the shepherds. They terrified Mary. They terrified everybody that they saw, actually. They said, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all the people, the Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. All heaven was focused on this amazing event taking place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I tell you, Christmas, from heaven's perspective, is far more exciting than what most people realize Christmas is today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I just want to, before we close, I'm only halfway through, Kim, but before we close, I just want to take a closer look at this amazing gift that was born to us at Christmas. Let's read from Isaiah. Oh, he needs a crown. It's all about being king. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. This was prophesied 700 years earlier. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Did you hear that? This kingdom that he's established goes on forever and ever and ever. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. In the remaining time, I just want to expand this little scripture to us. Firstly, notice a child has been born to who? To us. A son has been given to us. If Christmas is about giving, then God's precious gift to the world, his one and only son, Jesus, is the best example ever. He gave him for you and he gave him for me. His name will be called Jesus, the angel said, for he will save his people from their sins. What an amazing gift this Jesus is to the whole world. Hallelujah for that as well. The message then goes on to say, and he'll take over the running of the world. Now, I like that. He's come to be born as a child. A son's going to be given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, translated. He'll take over the running of the world. He was born to be king. Many are happy to sing about the little baby Jesus wrapped up in those little blankets in a cold stable. But don't be deceived by those images. He came to take over the running of the world. He's not staying in that stable. He's born to be king. Herod had every reason to be concerned when he heard that a king was being born, because someone far greater than Herod had been born in Bethlehem, the king of all kings and lord of all lords. So great was this king, he conquered everything that stood against him. He conquered sin, he conquered sickness, he conquered death, he conquered the enemy. He made it possible for those of us which were separated from God to be drawn back to God. His kingdom is increasing forever and ever. He came to save, but more than save, he came to be your king too. He came to be your Lord. I noticed as we were singing one of the songs, on this side of the room, two or three people were just kneeling before him, all hail the Lamb. And I thought, what a beautiful expression. Because that's him, that's who he is, the God, the King, the Lord. We owe our devotion to him. No wonder heaven couldn't contain itself. God's amazing plan of salvation was being worked out. But let's just look at his titles. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. Do you know the Hebrew for that word, wonderful? It's about things too wonderful. Almost beyond understanding. That's what it means. It's not just, oh, that was wonderful. No, it's beyond human ability. It has the miraculous in its connotation. The word is used to describe wonders and miracles. This is the one that we're describing. The Wonderful Counselor, the miraculous, the anointed, the supernatural element in this description. And of course, the greatest wonder of all, the child being born, God becoming man. And then Counselor. You see, Isaiah prophesied a little bit later on, this one who's born from Jesse, from the root of Jesse, he will be anointed with the spirit of counsel and power. Other kings need advisors. They surround themselves and to help them decide what decisions to make. This king doesn't need any advisors. He has that spirit. The Spirit of God is upon him. Wonderful counselor. Becomes a clear statement of deity. This child is God, and he is a sign and a wonder. Mighty God. You'll be called Mighty God or Strong God, the Message puts it. But the Hebrew word for Mighty God, it alludes to the word hero. But Jesus, a much greater hero than Moses or Abraham or David. This Mighty God is the divine hero. He's going to do amazing things, amazing acts. And of course he did. As his kingdom came, the sick were healed. Demons were cast out. He walked on the water. He raised the dead. Ultimately, conquered death itself. Death couldn't hold him. Our mighty God, our strong God, our divine hero, overcame. Hallelujah. There's no greater hero than Jesus Christ, the champion of the world. An everlasting father. And you might think, well, that's an interesting title for a son. But literally, everlasting father, it means father of eternity. And we've already read, you see, Jesus was right back there at the very beginning. He was the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He existed before the world was even formed or created. In fact, he actually made the world. Everlasting Father. And he expresses totally and fully God, his Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Same love, same care, same concern, same mercy. Yes, judgment too. But abounding in love and mercy and forgiveness. Jesus is the everlasting Father, the Son in eternity, but Father of eternity too. And lastly, he'll be called Prince of Peace. You know, shalom, it's more than peace as we understand it. Shalom is to do with wholeness, health, salvation, well-being. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace brings, shalom brings that feeling of contentment, that completeness, harmony. And as we come to him, he deals with the lack of peace in our lives. He wants to touch our lives with blessing, with fullness, with all good things that come from his kingdom, his righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Prince of Peace, Jesus himself, is ushering in this kingdom of wholeness. What an amazing prophecy. This one, born in the manger, took 700 years for it to happen, will be called all of those things. A king whose kingdom will never stop increasing. A divine hero who through his death and resurrection made salvation and forgiveness possible. The Father of eternity, full of love and care towards mankind. And the Prince of Peace is establishing a kingdom of righteousness which goes on forever and ever and ever. No wonder he was the focus of heaven on that eventful day. And do you know? He still is. He's now ascended to heaven, as we know. He's left earth. I'm reading Bible in a year. We're in Revelation now. And it's all about Jesus being exalted and enthroned, surrounded by worship, surrounded by angels, surrounded by all shapes and sizes and strange beasts and beings. But they're just fully bringing love, worship, and honor to him. I want to encourage us, church. Enjoy all the fun of Christmas. Enjoy all the festivities of Christmas. But let's not forget, this is what it's all about. A divine hero. A strong God, a supernatural King, Prince of Peace, breaking in and bringing life to all who can accept him. Amen. So I asked Rob earlier on if we could have sang that song, "Oh Come Let Us Adore Him." So I just felt I wanted to make him really the focus. He is the focus. He's always the focus, isn't he, of our worship? I don't know what you've got lined up now, Rob, but let's just focus again and let's stand together. Let's worship together. As we've been reminded of these attributes of who he really is, what he's come to do, let's just come and stand, kneel, lie down, worship, lift hands, do what's appropriate to do, because God's broken in. And there may be those here today who maybe come for the first time, maybe you're not here for the first time, and this is a message that you've not heard. You know about Jesus at Christmas, or you're one of the two-thirds that do know that story, but you've heard about these things, but actually he wants to make it personal. He didn't just come 2,000 years ago to fulfill prophecy. He came for you. He came to save you. He came to lay down his life. He squeezed, as I said, that life, that divine life, into fragile humanity. He died on a cross that we could be reconciled back to God. So much so that he says, "Look, I'm the only way. I'm the way back to the Father." And as we sing this song in worship, what are we singing, Rob?
If you want to come on, be faithful, we can do that, or we can do, I have another one if you want to.
What's the other one?
Jesus, Jesus, holy and
anointed. First one. Rob, can we just sing the three and then go into, can we sing choirs? Sorry, just have a little chat here. Let's stand, let's worship. If you want to give your life to Jesus, if this has meant something to you for the first time today, just make your way to the front with others. Jackie is going to, if people want prayer, Jackie mentioned that earlier on. He's come to deal with every situation in our lives. There's nothing too big for him. If he can make old women and virgins have babies, there's nothing too big for him. So you come forward for prayer if you need a touch from God, if you want to give your life back to God, if you want to recommit to him, if for the first time you thought, "Wow, I never quite understood that, I need more understanding," you take the opportunity to come forward, and probably at the end of the worship together, because it gets a bit noisy, we'll pray and we'll just talk to you about this incredible Christmas of God breaking in and bringing salvation to us all. So let's worship him. Thanks for watching.